on this edition of the Cubs Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Tim Stebbins, Gordon Whitmire, and I discuss Steven Matz's impending free agent decision. We talk about the upcoming Hall of Fame voting just a little bit. We talk about Jed Hoyer philosophy, Rick Hahn philosophy, and will guys sign before the lock?
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
At Wintrust, we know true fans show their team pride every chance they get. With Cubs checking, you'll score a Cubs debit card so you can show your support every time you pay. Open today at Wintrust.com/CubsTalk. $100 required to open. Member FDIC.
Let's play two.
Back! Back! Back!
Back! Way back! It might be! It could be! It is! Holy cow!
The fly! He scores! Cubs win! Cubs win!
Ball! Game! Over! Cubs win! Cubs win!
Happy Thanksgiving and welcome in to the Cubs Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking, with free ATMs nationwide, with Tim Stebbins and Gordon Whitmire. I'm David Kaplan. We are your Cubs content team here at NBC Sports Chicago and NBCSportsChicago.com and the My Teams app. Gentlemen, happy holidays, first of all, to both of you.
You too, Cap. Thanks. Appreciate it.
So let's talk about Steven Matz. We can start right there.
Oh, wait, hold up, Cap. You're Mr. Health Food Dude. And you know, especially at your age, you really have to lean into that. What are you doing,
baby?
Happy birthday, by the way. What are you doing for Thanksgiving? Any special menu items?
I am actually working at NBC Sports Chicago. I have to do Bears.
Oh, of course.
So we have delayed our dinner until later in the evening when I get home, like 5:30 or so. We are going to have two different kinds of turkey. We're going to have a beef tenderloin. I will make sure I work out in the morning before I go downtown. I'll get my 10,000 steps in, and my wife's even making me a blueberry pie so I can have a slice of that. So I'm looking forward to
it. Nice. How much of that green junk are you going to drink during the show?
What green junk?
Yeah, stuff you used to drink all the time on the Sports Talk show.
Oh, I always would have like a smoothie, like a green juice.
Yeah.
I may have a little of that while we're down there. I eat my low-carb wrap made out of egg whites, and I'm ready to go, man.
Throw a little gravy in it for Thanksgiving?
Maybe. And I think I gained 5,000 pounds on vacation, so I got to get back at it.
Nice.
So. Respect to you, Cap, because my gym closes Thanksgiving and Black Friday every year, and like, there's obviously other ways to exercise, but I've kind of just resigned to the fact that it's going to be a short gym week for me.
Yeah, I have a gym. I'm actually down in my gym. It's right over here, and I got the squat rack. I got the bench. I've got the cable columns. I got the Peloton. So we're good to go, man. The landmine, and I got the sauna right back there.
You got it all. Look at that. Wow.
So away we go, kid. Away we go. All right, baseball. Steven Matz wants to make a decision by Thanksgiving because he wants the contract to be signed off on and, bam, finalized before the lockout next week. Do you guys think the Cubs are one of the 7 or 8 teams he's considering? Do you think that would be a wise purchase? Do you think he comes in as the number 2 guy, the number 1 guy, the number 3 guy? Where does he slot, Gordo?
Well, if they can go out and try to recreate Jake Arrieta magic all over again in 2021, why not go out and try to get the guy that shoved it against you in 2015 and recreate that magic? I don't know. Look, I do think that that's kind of their wheelhouse. this winter for free agent pitching. Whether they get him or not, I mean, there's eight teams that he's going to be choosing from. It seems like a long shot at best. Where he would slot would, I mean, almost anywhere he wants. He only got two guys. They got Kyle Hendricks and Wade Miley. That's it. So yep. Depending on what he looks like, he could be in the top two, I would think. He's certainly in the top three. I mean, because they only got three. So, and in fact, if you're looking at what goes into a decision for Steven Matz, if all these offers are fairly similar, that might be the biggest selling point the Cubs would have of all. Hey, you know, maybe they don't have the best chance of winning among those eight teams or going deep in October, but who's going to kick him out of the rotation? I mean, this guy's going to get plenty of leash. He's going to be able to make his 30 starts without having to look over his shoulder all the time or compete for a job or anything like that. Not that a guy coming in on a guaranteed contract would be competing for a job, but it's wide open. I mean, he can come in and make as much impact as his ability will allow. And so we'll see. It's good for the Cubs. He's going to have plenty of choices though. So I don't know where he lands.
TS, what do you think?
Yeah. I had six pitchers on my list of guys who could make sense for the Cubs and three are going to the Giants. So,
well, let me see if I can guess the six. Dee Sclafani.
Correct.
Kevin Gausman.
Incorrect.
Marcus Stroman, Robbie Ray, Steven Matz, and I don't know who the sixth one is.
Yeah, Carlos, so like some of those, like Gausman's obviously coming off a good year, but I was kind of trying to look at it in the scope of, you know, the Cubs, if they're not going to, if we seem to think that they're not going to be going top of the market, and I think Gausman stays in San Fran anyway, but I kind of looked at other options, I guess, and Matz was one of them, and then it went and to Dee Sclafani, who got what, you know, my whole premise on that is he had a good year with the Giants, obviously, but he fit probably in their desired Cubs range, and I think he's getting like 12 a year. So whether that was because he wanted to go back to San Francisco, I don't know, but that would have been in the Cubs wheelhouse. Alex Wood, Alex Cobb, Carlos Rodon, and John Gray. So Matz to me makes sense. I mean, there's eight teams in on him, like we said, but there's a couple boxes that, you know, I think for the Cubs purposes, he checks. He's a lefty, and Jed Hoyer kind of downplayed the emphasis on needing more lefties at the GM meeting. That's not necessarily something the Cubs are looking at so much as just they need good pitching. But Matz is lefty. They had nine starts made by a lefty in 21, and that was all Justin Steele, and Wade Miley will help that obviously. But from there, he's got mid-90s fastball velocity, and we saw the command control rotation the Cubs had for a chunk of 21 before some of those young arms got into the rotation, and he had a really good year. I mean, a really solid year. I think his ERA after the break with Toronto was sub three. So, you know, we're talking about where would you slot him into the rotation? I mean, I don't know, but that's a guy who got outs this year and he was effective. So for the Cubs, yeah, I think that would make a lot of sense. It's probably just going to come down to, with all the offers on the table, obviously fit destination, but can the Cubs make a competitive offer?
Yeah, I'm the one guy that you mentioned that I'm like, thank you, I'm out, Carlos Rodon. I don't believe the guy's healthy. I watched him early in the year because I bought a 15-game package. I was there all the time. 99, 98, 99. And then I go there again in, I don't know, July, early August, 88, 91. I'm like, come on, man. I don't trust Tommy John, shoulder surgery. And then he was not very good in the playoffs. So,
and honestly, that's why he would even fall to the Cubs range, right?
Correct.
Because there would be questions about him, and you know, maybe his market wouldn't be as robust. So you'd be taking a risk with him if you're the Cubs, question. Regardless.
Tim Gordon and I had this debate, which we like to do on the phone.
Yeah.
I said I would not touch Justin Verlander on a one-year deal for $25 million.
You're crazy, Cap. You're what freaking crazy.
If I felt
you're
like
out of your mind.
2016, 2017, and the Cubs are in it to try and win it, yeah, let's go. They're not going to win it next year. Why am I paying $25 million for a 38-year-old guy who are 37 who's coming off Tommy John?
Oh, wait a minute. You and I were arguing something different then, Cap, because I thought you were arguing whether anybody should pay him that and whether he was a good signing. He was a great signing for the Astros.
the Astros still feel like they've got enough talent. They're going to be really good.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
You told me the White Sox signed him. All in. The Cubs?
No, the Cubs aren't in a place where that made a lot of sense unless you're going to try to flip him.
Correct.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think about that.
Probably not going to be flippable. He won't sign a deal.
Oh, he'd be, right. He's not going to sign with anybody who's going to lose.
Correct.
He wouldn't take the money from the Cubs anyway.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's one factor. Like if the Cubs were interested, I don't think he would have wound up here. But I think if with the financial flexibility the Cubs have and the need for pitching that they have, if Justin Verlander was set on coming to the Cubs, which obviously that wasn't the case, and he wanted to go back to Houston, but if he said, I want 2 for $50 or 1 for $50 with an option, and I'm the Cubs, like, yeah, I'll do that. And whether does he get a no trade?
1 for $50?
No, wait, 1 for $25, but it's with the option he got, it's basically a 2-year, $50 million deal. I don't think the Cubs, though, would, like, we're talking about flipping him. I don't think he would get a no trade clause for the Cubs purposes, but I'm sure he would have wanted one if he came to a team like the Cubs in this kind of scenario. But if you're the Cubs, like, with the flexibility they have, I think there's opportunity with some of these, you know, high risk, high reward deals where if they pan out and you're in contention, great, you keep them. If they pan out and you're not in contention, then you flip them. And I think that's kind of what we're looking at for a lot of these guys potentially.
So Miguel Amaya, the reason I ask about him is his situation looks like he's going to have to undergo Tommy John surgery, which will knock him out the entire season and put his
there's a possibility it might not be his entire season, but you can almost kiss a 2022 debut of any substance goodbye.
Correct. And that means that it impacts Wilson Contreras because we don't know how he's going to respond coming. I'm talking about Amaya coming off of Tommy John. You would think he'll be okay, but you don't know if he'll be okay. So you're going to have to lock up Wilson Contreras, even if you thought about trading him, unless you're tanking, and then you go, I'll just trade him for whatever I can get the best haul back, and I'll sign some veteran guy to catch. Where do you think they're headed on Contreras, guys?
What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think going into the winter, I think from my shoes, it seemed like the scenario that was presenting itself, and this is just me educated, speculated, guess, whatever. If you're not going to extend him, then it would make sense to trade him because you already traded the other all-star core guys. And if they're not going to extend him this winter, then I don't think you go into next year and try to, at a time where he'd have less value because it'd be a half season, flip him at the deadline. I think we all were in the camp in a recent podcast. We talked about just the fact that he is someone that, at some price, we the Cubs should extend. And I think I always have thought that, but I think this Amaya injury only puts that more magnified, right? Like the Cubs top 30 prospects, whatever those lists are subjective, but if you go on any list, I'll go on MLB.com's, they have one other catcher in their top 30. And I believe it's a, you know, a teenager, a low A guy. So you don't have any catchers on the premise of the big leagues. And if you don't, like, if we're talking about Amaya is not going to be back till maybe 22, if not then 23, then what do you do next year or the year after with Contreras? And even on top of that, Amaya 2020 was a weird season with the canceled minor league season. 2021, he missed most of the year. And then 22, he's not going to play perhaps a chunk of it. And if anything, I have got to imagine that if he comes back, he would be DHing because the arm might not be ready to go in the field yet. So that's 3 years of developmental time, man. And I don't think you can understate that. And if Contreras isn't around come 2023, then who's your catcher? You'd have to go out and get somebody. And this guy's already obviously one of the better catchers in the game.
Yeah, well, that goes back to
Caliendo is their next highest rated catcher after Miguel Amaya. Amaya is a top five prospect on any list for the Cubs. Number 27 with a target ETA in the big leagues of 2024. Is Pablo Aliendo. He is 6 feet. He's 170. He's a kid who was born, signed May 5, 2018. And he is born 5/29 of 2001. He's a baby.
Which makes him irrelevant for any of these conversations.
Correct.
Look, we can talk about the catching position all we want. We can dive in the weeds on whether the Amaya situation means you have to get a little more urgent with your decision on Contreras. But look, go beyond the catching position. Who Contreras represents to your team, what your next core, what you consider your clubhouse culture. This guy is super competitive, super hard worker. He plays the most important, impactful position for every game that's not the pitcher. And by the way, he's a major league hitter, a plus major league hitter, even if he's not catching. He's an excellent hitting catcher. But if you stick him in left field, he's a good hitter. If you stick him at first base someday, he's a good hitter. So this guy can age well. He's very athletic, and he brings an edge that you want on that team. He's worth extending regardless of what position he plays. The fact that he's a two-time starting all-star catcher and he's still in the prime of his career physically where he can handle that position for the next few years and maybe age into another position after that. Absolutely, this is the guy you want to extend. Hands down, period, end of story. Get it done. Pay him some money. If there's one guy you're going to go pay this guy and start putting a team around him.
Would you think he'd take 4 for $60?
Hell no. Hell no.
5 for $80?
Come on, man. Get 5 for $80 gets you what? What was that, 19?
Yeah.
It's 16. No. You got to get closer. Look, man, Carlos Correa is going to get 10 and 300. Now, these are two different players, two different types of contracts, two different ages. Look at what Verlander just got on a one-year deal. The prices on these players is not going down, even with the uncertainty of the CBA. His AAV should probably, if he was on the open market, would probably start with a 2. And I think there's no reason for it not to in an extension. I don't think you should try to lowball. Look, you got rid of all those other guys that didn't sign extensions. They're not on your books. Hayward's not going to be on your books for very long. You got hardly anything on the books right now. Commit to a guy because this is the guy you chose and pay him. I'm not saying you don't have to pay him 30 a year. That's crazy. But don't try to get him for half that. Come on. That's not where the market's headed, and he's worth way more than that. So yeah, I mean, don't be trying to nickel and dime him like you did with some of these other guys. Come in with a fair offer. He may want more, it may work. You may pay him a little more than you wanted to in the first place. It's not going to break you. You're the Chicago friggin' Cubs. You got plenty of money.
That's why I thought 5 for $80 made sense. Maybe you go $17 million a year.
Look, if you're going to get into those levels of AAVs, you're going to have to give him longer years. You're going to have to give him more security. You're going to have to give him a length that sounds crazy for, especially for a catcher. But you're going to have to give him a length to get that kind of AAV. Winds up being the similar security. But, pay him the market value. Don't, if you're going to go 4 or 5 years, which is probably about a sweet spot for his age, then it's going to have to be 20-something.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Tim, you cover this team like we do every single day. We follow all of these different moves. Do you think before the lockout next week, the Cubs will do something? I asked you this a few weeks ago. Something of substance I'm not saying Carlos Correa, but I'm not talking about, you know, the kid they just Harold Ramirez from somewhere in the middle of that. Will they do something?
I was going to say, so that doesn't count as me being right about the Cubs doing something before December 1st.
No, definitely not.
Acquiring Harold Ramirez for cash. Yeah, I mean, I actually kind of like that move as a depth move. I'll stick by what I said. I mean, who knows, man? I mean, this could look bad if Stephen Matz's decision, per reports, is out of New York. If that's coming Wednesday, this could look bad in hindsight. But who knows? Maybe this week it's Stephen Matz to the Cubs. I mean, I said it that last time on that one pod. I said I think it's a pitcher of some sort. I think the pitching market is flying right now, and three of them are going to San Francisco. So if you're the team like the Cubs or any team, because who doesn't need pitching? You can never have too much pitching. You see the Giants sweep up three of these guys that are kind of thought of as not the Verlander Scherzers of the world, but quality pitchers in that mid-tier. If you see three pitchers go to one team sweeps up all of them, and you're a team like the Cubs, can you afford to wait by and see what is left after a lockout? Because as we record this, it's, you know, a couple of days before Thanksgiving. That's still a week left of moves. And it's there's indications from some players that they want to get stuff done before a potential lockout. So we might see more moves in the next week before that December 1st date comes around. If you're the Cubs and if you like a guy that's out there, can you really afford to try to wait and not pounce when if there's mutual interest?
Gordon?
Yeah, I agree that the Cubs end of the free agent pool is the end of the pool that's moving the fastest right now. It's the only part of the free agent markets that are going to move before a lockout. All the Boris clients, all the high-end long-term contract candidates, for the most part, they're all going to wait until the back end of this thing and play out the market. So meanwhile, the shorter-term guys, the mid-range guys, the $8 to $12 million pitchers that are the Cubs' targets, those are the guys now. And Tim's right. They're flying off the shelves. I'm not sure the Cubs thought that would happen as fast as it's happening. And so I think that they're active. I wonder if they're as active as they should be in being prepared to sign some of these guys. If Matz doesn't choose the Cubs, there's roughly a week to go until the shutdown. Transaction freeze that comes with the lockout, as we all know, and they may pick off something between now and then. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if they don't. And part of that is what's happened so far as they've been on the sidelines, and part of that is what Jed Hoyer has said about. He said, I don't know how many times he said we need to wait and see what the CBA says, which for where they're shopping doesn't seem necessary.
Okay, so I was telling Gordon this earlier. I had Rick Hahn on my radio show on Cap J Hood on ESPN 1000. And I said, Rick, you guys have a pretty high payroll now, but you're not done. You got to get a second baseman. You got to get a right fielder. You got to address your bullpen, which they did getting Kendall Graveman. But they still have to trade Kimbrel. They've got other moves they've got to make. They may want to add a rotation piece he talked about. And I said, well, are you going to do like I've heard other GMs say, we're going to sit back and see what the new rules are, then we'll make a move? He said, absolutely not. He said, if the right
exactly
presents itself, we'll adjust on the fly when we know what the new rules are. I'm not going to sit on the sideline and go, God, I should have signed that guy, but I was waiting on the CBA. No, I will make the right move for our team. And if I have to adjust after the fact, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, like that's where, you know, I know Jed talks about spending intelligently, but from my position, if I'm the Cubs and there's someone out there that I want, like, don't wait, right? Like, go and get them. I mean, the White Sox just did that with Kendall Graveman, as you said, the Cubs legend Kendall Graveman, I might add. Even though they still have Kimbrel's $16 million option on the books, they didn't wait to see if they could flip Kimbrel because, you know, that's something that they talked about potentially pursuing because of the ill-fitted role that he was in as a setup man. But they didn't wait to clear that money off. They saw a guy who could be an impact setup man in front of Liam Hendricks, and they pounced on it. So, yeah, I mean, like, Stephen Matz if he's off the market Wednesday, like I go back to that list I mentioned. I looked at free agent starters that based on, you know, the Scherzers and the Verlanders of the world and where they might be looking to go and win at this stage in their career, like pitchers who legitimately could make sense for the Cubs that won't be breaking the bank or anything. And four of my six are off. And I'm not saying I'm, you know, mine isn't gospel. I know there's other pitchers out there and there's other moves and there's plenty of arms potentially, but if the four of those six are already gone, then that's only the beginning. There's those other arms are, they're going to have more competition for who's left. And the Mets example is an indication of that, where eight teams, that's almost a third of the league is in on Steven Matz, according to that John Heyman report. So the third of the league wants a guy who, all respect to him, he's probably a three, right? He's not necessarily a Verlander, Scherzer. Then what's going to happen when those guys are gone at some point?
You know,
by the way, I saw your guy, Gordon, signed with the Pirates.
Which guy?
Oh, that no.
Jose Quintana.
Oh, my God, Quintana. Yeah, I got to go give him a pizza.
He's a Pirate now. Wow.
He'll probably light up the Cubs.
Probably.
Look, probably.
The Brewers' kryptonite, right? So he's back in the Central.
Exactly. Look, exactly. To your point with Han, from Han's position, he's absolutely right. His payroll's in a place where he's good basically no matter what happens, right? Because what's the concern for him when it comes to payroll? It's the luxury tax threshold, right? So if you look at the luxury tax, he's in good shape based on whatever the current luxury tax is. It's not going to go down. At the very least, it would get grandfathered in for another year, even if the owners won a concession that knocked it down for future years. So he has, for his purposes and what he's dealing with in his win now landscape and where his payroll is, he's in good shape. He doesn't need to go get any of those big long-term guys that are out there. And you would think that the same would apply to the Cubs for a different reason, right? They're not fishing in those big waters. So, right. And they've got even more payroll flexibility than the White Sox do. So why would they have to wait? But Jed keeps saying that. So maybe that's something for Cubs fans to hold on to if there's any hope at all. Maybe if Jed is serious that he needs to see what's in the CBA to know exactly what his full plan for the offseason is, maybe he does consider himself a player in one or two of those bigger name guys' markets, where once we get to the other side of a shutdown, a lockout, a transaction freeze, and it starts up again with all the big name guys out there, if he knows where the CBA is going over the next 5 years and it fits for what he projects their revenues to be, with their payrolls, where they might want to be, where their winning cycles might be, maybe he does get in the market on the back end of that for a bigger name guy. I think it would be one. I can't even imagine two, really, but maybe one guy, whether that's one of the shortstops or whether that's a pitcher that he really believes in. But there's still going to be a lot of those middle and low level pitchers that he's got to get in the meantime. So he should be more active right now.
Well, last thing, we're going to talk probably next week. Gordon, you're a Hall of Fame voter. Tim and I aren't there yet, even though we watch as much baseball as anybody. You and your fellow BBWAA writers don't let us electronic guys in.
Yeah, you'll never get in either, Cap, if I have any say about it. So you can stick to BBAA, right? Where
might get me in.
Oh, yeah. Sully does do things the Chicago way, so it might not take a democratic process. You could be right. So
we won't do it now, but we will do it maybe in the next week or two. When do you get your ballot for the Hall of Fame?
It should be showing up in the mail anytime. What is it? Right before Thanksgiving? Yeah, usually right after Thanksgiving it shows up in the mail, and then you have until the end of December to get it into them.
And we have to talk, Tim. We got to see what Gordon's going to do on Sosa, Bonds, Clemens.
How many times do I have to friggin' tell you? You already know the answer.
Somebody got to you.
Who got to me?
I don't know. We're going to find out who you're going to support.
Big Poppy's on the ballot first time, right?
Poppy's on the ballot, and Poppy was always one of my guys.
You crossed paths with him in Minnesota, right?
Yeah, from the time he broke in. Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm a huge Big Poppy guy. I hear he's a good dude, too.
He's a great dude. I mean, just a great dude. And over the years, as I saw him again with Boston and he became a bigger and bigger name, he never changed. He's the same guy. He's a great dude.
So does Poppy have somebody wasn't he named in the Mitchell report?
I don't know if he was named in the Mitchell report, but there was a report that he was on the list. He was part of the survey tested guys in 2003. And he denied it. And there was no, as far as I know, and I got to look this up. I don't know if there was any other corroborating reports on that. Of course, MLB and the union was all pissed off that any name was leaked, and MLB didn't confirm anything. And he was vehemently, in denial of that. So, yeah, I haven't. I take a pretty hard stance, and I will say that personally. I mean, that sliver of a report is the one thing I'll be debating with him when it comes to how I view my hog, because he's got everything else, and having covered him and knowing what he's meant to his teams and what kind of a person he is in those clubhouses, he's got everything else. And so, I've just got to come to terms with that and see if I put it on the same level as I do with the Clemens and the Bonzes and the Sosas of the world.
Yeah, I'm a huge Big Poppy fan. I don't know the guy. I've never interviewed him in my life. I remember him after the Boston Marathon bombing.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember him with some clutch home runs. I remember the security guard standing there and falling over the side of the over the wall, jumping. On a huge home run. I remember all of that. He's a Hall of Famer.
I don't think at least those three that they won in that 10-year span, and then they won that fourth right at the tail end of his career. Those three, I don't think they win any of them without him. And we know they don't win the first one without him. He almost single-handedly won the first two games after they fell back 3-0 to the Yankees. And so... Yeah, I mean he's pulled off some of the greatest heroics in October ever, and including one of the greatest championships ever in baseball.
You talk about the 3-0 comeback.
Yeah, yeah. He was those two nights in a row. He was the guy on center stage that got it done at the end. The second time he did it, it felt like there's no doubt he's going to do it, and then he did. And then at that point, it felt like these guys are going to win this series, which is crazy.
Tim, one prediction from you. Where does Chris Bryant sign?
Seattle, man. He's going straight up. Gordon, what would you write in your story? Something about clams? Is there some clams connection?
A lot of clams in Seattle. And he's going to get a lot of them. He's going to get a lot of clams in Seattle.
There you go.
I am surprised that San Francisco wouldn't want him back. I am.
One of the things that I heard at the GM meetings, the buzz out of San Francisco on him was that they were down on his fielding, which, and they're a very,
that's surprising.
Yeah, it does surprise me too. And like the metrics are down on him fielding too. And that's to me, one of the big flaws in metrics, because we know his value. Look, when he was playing every day at third base, he got better. And in 2020, it was a short season, but for the month or so that he was on third base, he was playing third base as well as he ever had. Had he just stayed there, he grades out as at least an average, probably above average third baseman. And all of a sudden the WAR that applies to his defense is over zero. Right. And instead he moves around. He moves around. Why? Because he can play a lot of positions well enough. Average. By the time he gets graded on all those positions, his WAR defensively is below zero. So even if his hit war is up here, his defensive war drags him down, even though there's added value to what he's doing defensively that we can see with our own eyes and that we know is part of the communication and the value to his team. That's messed up in my mind, because the team's not going to play him in all those different positions if he's going to cost them out there. They're doing it because he's helping them. Now, he did have trouble in right field. Was it right field? And he really struggled in right field.
That's a tough right field to play.
It is. It is. So in fairness to the Giants evaluation, you got to take right field out of the equation, because he just showed that he couldn't handle their right field. And he winds up finishing in center field and doing okay. But I think at the end of the day, they didn't view him as worth the top market dollar for what they eventually were going to get back on the fielding side. Like, he wasn't maybe elite enough as a super utility guy, but he fits perfectly. I mean, Seattle would be an ideal fit for him in so many ways.
Tim, I think it's a great market for him. He doesn't have to deal with the nonsense of New York, Chicago, Boston, Philly, you know, those big pressure packed, tons of media. Like, it's Seattle.
It's a cool town. I'm from there. It's a great town. It's West Coast. He's a West Coast kid.
Yep.
Spring training, he's still out in Arizona. Everything's a comfort zone.
Yep. Everything.
They got hockey now.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got a hockey team. Yeah.
And he likes hockey. He's a Vegas Golden Knight guy.
Yeah.
And plus, by the way, that park used to be a pitcher's park. It's become more of a hitter's park. And it plays defensively. It's a more normal ballpark to play. So whether he's playing third base, whether he's playing in the outfield positions, he should be able to handle all that well. And that's a team that has the talent to win, get to October, and they'll do it with a team full of guys that haven't been to October before. So who would you like to put on your team? How about a guy that's won the biggest championship of all?
Yeah, most pressure-packed of all time. You guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Tim, your favorite Thanksgiving meal. What's the favorite part of the meal for you?
It's a tough one. I got two. I'll say stuffing, but, man, the sweet potatoes, when they put the marshmallows on them, oh, my gosh. I could eat the whole tray of those, too. It's a sweet tooth thing, I guess.
Gordon?
Oh, you got to go with the turkey. And I got a lot of Norwegian in me, and there's this potato bread lefse that my daughter and I make every year. You put a little gravy in the turkey on that, roll it up. Outstanding.
Mine is, and I only have it once a year, mashed potatoes. I put the niblet corn on top and the gravy, and I eat it all together.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And then my late mother makes She taught my wife how to do this. It's like slices of pineapple with Jell-O in them. And so it's freaking ridiculous. And then my wife makes what she calls green goop with grapes and all this other stuff. So, yeah, it's an unhealthy meal, but it's awesome.
I got to come to your house for Thanksgiving. That sounds real good.
You're welcome. Anytime you guys want to come, let me know. Hey, happy holidays. We'll talk soon. For Gordon, for Tim, for Tony Gill, I'm David Kaplan. It's been a fun edition. The Cubs Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Take that. We'll see you soon.